The shape of Jacksonville's urban core is largely thanks to a transportation system that no longer exists. Ennis Davis tells us about the streetcars that built the city. I'm Jessica Palumbo, and this is The Jackson on WJCT. So, Ennis, how did streetcars build Jacksonville?
Transportation has always been a facilitator of development. And if you go back to 1880, we owe a lot of what Jacksonville has become to a gentleman named Henry Bradley Plant. He was a railroad tycoon who connected a railroad to Jacksonville in the early 1800s with northern states, which led to us becoming a tourist destination. In addition to that railroad, he also built our first streetcar system, which was pulled by mules at the time.
Okay. So where did that network run?
Between La Villa and Fairfield, which is basically the sports district today. In 1893, we had our first electric streetcar. And by the 1920s, that system had grown to about 60 miles of network, which made it the largest streetcar system in the state of Florida.
So how does this work? Do streetcar tracks get laid down and then people decide to live along those routes? Or do they go where people are already living?
Streetcar suburbs were some of our original suburbs. Basically, a development company would go out, acquire land on the edge of town, use that streetcar as a transportation tool to connect that land into the downtown core, and then develop their property as mixed-use neighborhoods. Today, when we look across our city, you can almost see where that streetcar system ran and where those major streetcar intersections were located. Five Points, San Marcos Square, Main and 8th in Springfield, Parking King in Riverside. All these are commercial districts or original transit-oriented development districts that sprung up around this streetcar network.
Oh, thank you, streetcars. So what are we doing today that will shape the Jacksonville of tomorrow?
Well, since World War II, our development pattern has really focused around the automobile. And the highways that we continue to design today lead to more suburban development. If you look at the First Coast Expressway, for example, or Highway 9B towards Northern St. Johns County, there's a lot of development that's occurring in that Bartram Park area around that new system of roadways. In terms of the urban core, there's more focus now on autonomous vehicles to replace the Skyway. And we do need to look at how that type of system integrates with the land use.
How do we make sure that, as you say, it gets integrated with the land use? What does that mean exactly?
For example, the Portland streetcar is one of the first modern streetcar systems built in the U.S. It's about 20 years old now. That streetcar system was not built just to move people from point A to point B or to be the most flexible thing around. If you wanted to do that, they could have just invested in a bus and called it a day. Really, that city had a vision of what it wanted to be in the future. And based off that vision, no matter whether it was land use, whether it was mobility, or even whether it's improving schools, every project is driven to incrementally push them closer to that end game. So now that city has a denser core where transit is also integrated into it. And so when we look at Jacksonville, if we want an urban core, for example, that is vibrant in terms of human scale interaction, we have to make sure that no matter what we do, no matter what the technology is, how much money and investment is put into these projects, they have to be built and designed and integrated with other policies to facilitate that end goal.
More on this is at thejackson.org. That's JAXSON.org. That's Ennis Davis, and I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo. This is The Jackson on WJCT.
Support for The Jackson on WJCT comes from the Jacksonville Police and Fire Pension Fund.